Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. The passage I'd like to consider with you this morning, again, is from the letter to the Hebrews in the fourth chapter. We'll begin at verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, that is, to enter God's rest, and those who formerly received the good news, that is, the Israelites, failed to enter because of disobedience, again, God appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We pray. O Lord God, our petition to you just this morning was that you would give us all things that are beneficial to us. Perhaps more than anything, O Lord, we need rest. But Lord, teach us how to rest, in you and in your grace and love for us, that indeed our rest may be complete and full. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So did you get enough rest last night? I hope so, because you know what? The preacher has a pretty good view of the congregation, and he can tell if you're nodding off. Which, by the way, if that happens to you, I'll just assume it's because you didn't get enough rest. Because I mean, it couldn't possibly be that I'm boring you, could it? And so there was a Sunday school teacher who was dismissing her class of kids to go over to the sanctuary for worship, the worship service. And she wanted to remind her kids of something, so she asked her students, she said, now, why is it important to be quiet in church? And one of the kids piped up and said, because people are sleeping. Hardy har har. Yeah, yeah, we preachers hear it all the time. That, and we only work one day a week. But I'll tell you, if there are any dozers in the pew this morning, for the sake of my own ego, I'll just chalk it up to what we are being told by the Centers for Disease Control. Because studies indicate that America is not getting enough rest. The average American gets about 6.5, 6.75 hours of sleep every night, and about 40% of us are getting less than 6 hours of sleep every night. Now, 100 years ago, they say, people would get 9 hours of shut-eye every night. Your life was lived at the rhythm of the sun. When the sun went down, there wasn't a lot more to do in the day, so you went to bed and you got some sleep. But now we have light bulbs and we have internet and we have screens and we have 24-hour programming and we work longer hours and we're getting too little rest. And the cost to our nation is huge. Drowsy driving causes some 2,000 deaths every year in America. And then on top of that, 40,000 more injuries. We spend $41 billion on sleep aids, and then we spend billions of more dollars on energy drinks so we can stay awake during the day because we got too little rest the night before. And now what's the new thing, of course, is technology. And now there are these tech-enabled sleep products, like a pillow that you can Bluetooth to your smartphone so you can play nice sounds and music in your pillow. Boy, we put a lot of work into rest, don't we? Because God created us to need it. And even himself rested on the seventh day. Again, we read in chapter 4, verse 4, the author of Hebrews says, "For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." Now, of course, God did not need to rest. He is omnipotent and almighty. He never grows weary, as the psalm says. But he rested for our benefit, to show us by his example that he intends the rhythm of our lives to include plenty of time for rest. And that's why we yearn for it, because we need it. We even crave it. Which explains why last night, 9:30 comes around, and I was hoping to watch one of my favorite British comedy shows, you know, Keeping Up Appearances. By 9:45, I was sound asleep in the recliner, can't even stay awake anymore before 10 o'clock. Our bodies crave rest. So, taking our cue then from God, we try to build rest into the rhythm of our lives, don't we? Rest is in our daily rhythm as we watch the clock at school or at work, waiting for the day to come to an end so we can go home, plop down in the recliner, relax a little bit, and then a little bit later in the evening, go to bed and pull up those covers and sink deep into the pillow and slip off into la-la land. Rest is built into the weekly rhythm of our lives as we count down the days to the weekend. It's built into the yearly rhythm of our lives as we plan a vacation, perhaps, or rent a cabin and get away for a while from all the routine of life, out into nature where we can get some R&R. And rest is built into the rhythm of our lives as we plan and save for retirement and those blessed golden years when every day is a Saturday. Every day is also a doctor's visit too, but nevertheless, it sounds really, really nice, and we yearn for that rest. But what we forget is that the rest that God wants for us is so much more than a good night of sleep or a lazy weekend or an easy retirement, as if resting these bodies and these minds is all that God has for us in his rest. Of course, that's an important part of rest, but it's hardly the whole thing that God intends for us. But back in the book of Exodus, we read, 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day shall be a day of Sabbath, a day of rest unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. And until we figure out what that means, unto the Lord, we are not getting the rest that God really wants us to have. I don't care how good a night of sleep you got, how lazy your weekend has been, how great your retirement is going. If you have not rested unto the Lord, you are not rested. And that's where our epistle reading today points us to a better, fuller kind of rest. The kind of rest that God has in mind for us. So last week, the letter to the Hebrews reminded us that that first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt was not allowed to enter into God's rest in the promised land because of the unbelief and their hardened hearts and the deceitfulness of sin. Now in today's reading, the author of the Hebrews kind of builds on that thought. And he says in verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on." So Joshua was able to bring Israel into the promised land. But what Israel found in that land could hardly be described as rest, because they so quickly forgot the Lord. The Lord allowed them to be harassed by the Canaanites. who were not at all happy that Israel was there occupying their land. So the Canaanites were like these angry little dogs constantly nipping at the heels of the Israelites. And their story is a caution to us that we not miss out on the fullness of the rest that God has for us by thinking that we can just disregard the Lord and still find adequate rest for ourselves. So that first generation of Israelites out of Egypt did not get to rest at all in the promised land because of their sin and unbelief. The subsequent generations of Israel only had partial rest in the promised land because they were being harassed by the Canaanites. And so the writer to Hebrews says that God speaks of another day later on when God's people really will finally, fully have rest. And so he says in verses 9 and 10, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. But where do you find that kind of rest? The kind that God wants for us? Well, once again, I bring you back to Exodus. It speaks of a rest unto the Lord. And I think the best clue as to how we find that rest is in Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is the one God meant when he gave us that day of rest to the Lord. The fuller, the perfect rest that God wants us to enter into is not in any promised land on this earth, not in any bottle of sleeping pills. It's not in any lazy weekend or vacation or in a retirement. That rest that he wants you to have is in Jesus, in Christ, and in Christ alone is that perfect rest that we all need. And we all crave. That's why you're here today, to get that rest. Because in Jesus, you see, we rest. We rest from every false and idolatrous notion that we can reform ourselves enough to please our God and merit His favor. Rest from those notions. We rest in Jesus from the crushing burden of guilt over the things that we did and said that hurt each other and that offended our God and would have doomed us to hell were it not for Jesus. In Jesus we rest from those unattainable demands of God's law that we be perfect or else. In Jesus we rest our minds and our hearts and souls secure in the knowledge that we're forgiven. We have been redeemed by the blood of God's own Son. We've been set free to be the people of God. And then when we die, we rest our weary bodies in the grave, completely confident in the hope of the resurrection. And then when that rest is over, then like Abraham in the resurrection, we rest in the bosom of our Savior, where the gates of that city will remain forever open because there are no longer any threats against us. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience as those Israelites. Now, how do you make sense out of that? On the one hand, verse 10 says that we have entered God's rest by virtue of faith in Christ. While on the other hand, verse 11 speaks of striving to enter God's rest. So which is it? Have we entered God's rest? Or are we striving to enter God's rest? And the answer is yes. It is both. You see, this is that now, not yet dynamic that is at work in the lives of God's people. See, the kingdom of God is already here, right now. It comes to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we believe in Him, in the preaching of God's Word. His kingdom is here now. And yet, His kingdom will not reach its fullest expression until sometime in the future when the Lord returns to establish His kingdom of glory. So His kingdom is now, but it's also not yet. And it's the same thing here with rest. In Christ we have rest right now. And yet our rest has not reached its fullness, since we are still being harassed in this life by our own little Canaanites, by our sinful nature, by the stresses of life, by the hatred of this world, by tears and sorrows and heartaches and body aches and spirit aches. That perfect rest is yet to come when Jesus returns and raises our bodies and makes all things new again in His creation, and all is at peace again and forever. So while we already have entered God's rest in Christ, there is also that sense in which we strive to enter that perfect but not yet rest of the new creation. And that then is where the final verses of our text come into play. He writes, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." You see, the greatest threat that we face, like those Israelites, is that we're going to be sucked in by the deceitfulness of sin and come short of that rest that God wants us to have. And it happens. You see people falling into the deceitfulness of sin all the time. You hear it, you even do it. We all do it. "Oh, you know, what I did wasn't all that bad. Others are worse than me, far worse. You know, so-and-so had it coming anyway. He deserved it. I was too busy. Other things came up. Wasn't my idea." And on we go, deceiving ourselves about sin in our lives by giving excuses and rationalizations and hardening our hearts against the Holy Spirit. But whereas our tendency is to deceive ourselves, there's always one place we can go where we will get the full, unvarnished truth about ourselves, and that's the Word of God. This Word is a sharp sword that lays us open before God and even before ourselves. It separates truth from lies. It exposes our excuses and our rationalizations. This Word pierces. It discerns the thoughts of our hearts, so that hopefully we'll stop deceiving ourselves. I don't know if that's why so many people avoid Bible study. They don't want to be laid bare by the Word of God. But this is the way we strive to enter God's rest, by continually laying open the Word of God so that it will lay us open and expose us for who and what we really are, and then soften our hearts and drive us in repentant faith to answer the call of Jesus, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are so heavily laden, and I will give you that rest that you yearn for." And that merciful call of Jesus is the other sharp edge of that sword of the Word of God. And it pierces us with a message of a love that is so big that none other than the Son of God, our Joshua, would pay the price of peace with God and lead us to the promised land. Already now, We have entered God's rest in Christ. We already have the forgiveness of our sins, the assurance of His grace and love. This is God's gift to you, purchased at the cross. Rest yourselves in the redeeming mercy and love of God. And then strive. Strive. Stay close to the Word of God. Lay it open and let it lay you open. Make it a regular part of the rhythm of your life, just as much as sleep is a regular part of the rhythm of it, because this is where we rest. Let it be a part of the rhythm of your life in worship, devotion, Bible study. It will cut you open and it will lay you bare. But it will also cut you to the heart with the sweet, sweet truth of the gospel and of God's love for you in Christ. And then one day, rest will finally come to us that is complete. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.